Despite a visit from former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, violence in Kenya has reignited, with dozens of people being killed and thousands displaced in the last 5 days. Annan intends to mediate between President Mwai Kibaki and opposition leader Raila Odinga over the controversial and contested results of a recent election. Odinga's party, the Orange Democratic Movement, insists that the election was rigged in favor of Kibaki, a view widely held by local and foreign election observers. Most of the attacks are split along ethnic lines, with members of Kibaki's Kikuyu ethnic group clashing with members of the Luo and Kalenjin groups that favor the opposition. Thousands of internally displaced refugees have crowded the road from Nakuru to Nairobi. The fighting has spread to Naivasha, home to Kenya's lucrative flower exporting industry. Women and children have become the target of sexual assaults. Many fear the violence could get out of control and lead to a civil war. To date, more than 800 people have been killed in the worst violence since Kenya's independence. Joining us on the line this morning, live from Kenya, is Gem. He is an analyst currently based in Kenya. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today. First, can you tell us exactly what is happening in Kenya as of this morning? What is some of the latest situation there?
Okay, it's evening in Kenya now, but this morning there was killings happening in different towns around the country, tribe on tribe, more or less. People from certain tribes moving out of certain estates which are dominated by other tribes. That's one MP was killed last night, so there was a bit of fracas outside his house in the morning as well. That's really what was happening in the morning.
So is the basis of the violence essentially that people are angry that Raila Odinga's party has not been given the presidency, that Odinga himself is not president? And if so, what is the why is it along ethnic lines in particular?
Okay, I think the final thing that got it going was the election and Raila not being the president at the moment. But I think some of the issues that brought it to where it is have been there for the last, 50, 60, 100 years. Really long-running issues about resources, land, jobs, access to financials, just the things that people need to improve the quality of their life. So in all the communities, you have a lot of people, especially young people, who lack opportunities to make their lives much better. In brief, I guess that's what's there apart from the election.
What are some of the dynamics then between these various groups, historically and currently?
Okay, some of the best land in Kenya is in the Rift Valley, where most of the fighting is happening. After the British left at the end of colonialism in the early 1960s, it's really a lot of the people from Central Province, Kikuyus, who managed to get most of the land that before the British came was Kalenjin land. And that has been simmering below the surface for the last 50 years or so. And this is one of every election time, it kind of simmers up into tribal clashes. This time, I guess they've just been a lot bigger than they have been in the last two or three election periods. Really, the Kalenjin want their land back, and the Kikuyus have moved in there and settled. And some Kikuyus have been there for two, three generations, and really don't know their original home in central Kenya.
We also have on the line with us LA-based filmmaker Amy Williams, who had joined us in studio a couple of weeks ago. She is currently back in Kenya. Welcome back to Uprising, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, Amy,
can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. So we've been talking to Gem about some of the ethnic violence and some of the historical context behind that. Can you tell us, Amy, a little bit more about what's currently happening and how is the Kibaki government responding to the violence? I understand that there is some talk about deploying the military, but he's reluctant to do so.
Well, actually, we just came from an event where Kofi Annan was announcing the rules of engagement for the negotiations between Kibaki and Raila, and he announced that he was going to build 42 new police stations throughout the nation and spend millions of shillings to help beef up the security, which is sadly needed. We did see evidence of military presence in Nakuru when we were on the ground. The town was being patrolled heavily, and we went into an area I don't know how much you went with Cam, but we went into an area where an entire neighborhood had been burned to the ground, and both Kikuyu and Kalenjin were suffering and, you know, were homeless and were carrying all their belongings and trying to find shelter and trying to find a place that was safe.
So who are the main perpetrators of the violence? Is it organized? Is it random, Amy?
You know, I'm not an expert, and it's a very, very complex situation. What I'm just witnessing as a filmmaker is that it's a lot of different factions. It doesn't seem that organized, although it seems to flash up overnight. There was an MP actually assassinated in Nairobi this morning, so pockets of Nairobi have now erupted again, and they were kind of quiet for about a week. His name is Weru, and he's from the Embakasi constituency, and he was part of the opposition team. He was elected in ODM. So that's caused something happens, and then there's a retaliation. And it's too simplistic to say it's Luo versus Kikuyu or it's Kalenjin versus Kikuyu. I think the reason I wanted you to speak with Gem is because I think it's historically really interesting to look at it as land issues and land ownership issues.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, Gem. You did begin to address some of these issues, but is there any kind of sort of organized demand, or is it simply focused on wanting to get the particular presidential candidate in power, whether it's Raila Odinga supporters or Kibaki supporters who want him to remain in power? Is it that simple, or are people asking for a redress of longstanding issues such as land?
I think even in the recent, a couple of hours ago, there was this meeting between the president, Raila Odinga, and Kofi Annan. And really, they divided the issues into the immediate, urgent ones and the longer-term issues. So I think both issues are there. People want to solve the immediate issues of who is the president and who won the election. But the deeper issues, which are really, I think, the source of the violence, also need to be dealt with. And I think given the time frames they've given, people agree that those issues will take longer than a couple of weeks to sort out.
But what about on the ground, people on the ground themselves? Is there a specific agenda that they are looking for, or is the immediate desire to simply have either Odinga get into power or Kibaki remain in power? And is there any sentiment for a unity government, which was being briefly talked about?
Okay, first I'd say for a lot of the Kalenjin violence in the Rift Valley, having Raila as president is part of it because they see Raila as part of getting the justice back. Mm-hmm. But an even deeper one, which I think is a stronger one, is to get the Kikuyus out of the Rift Valley or to get redress for past wrongs they perceive the government has done to them, the Kikuyu-led government has done to them in the Rift Valley. In terms of the violence that continues, you know, it starts with a very good reason, then it becomes tit for tat. You know, Kikuyus organize and kill Kalenjins. Kalenjins revenge and go and kill them. So, it sparks and cools down, based on different things at different times. Mm-hmm. There are reports of some gangs being organized and paid by politicians. Some things are spontaneous. All different kinds of things are going on. It's impossible for anyone to know for every single incident of violence what really was running up behind it.
Yeah, does Kofi Annan's presence signal any hope among Kenyans that there might be a resolution of the problem soon?
I think it's good to have him here because at least twice he's managed to bring the main protagonists together. People would like the process to go a little bit faster than it seems to have been going thus far, but I guess it's the way he's, you know, he knows how to do his business. Hmm. They're talking about a 4-week process on the short-term issues and a 1-year process for the long-term issues. But I hope that the violence won't last for another 4 weeks. In 4 weeks' time, Kenya would be completely ablaze.
Amy, let's talk about the violence against women and girls. When we had you on in Los Angeles in our studios, we talked about the role of women and really the untold story of women in the Kenyan elections. But there has been, with the ongoing violence, of course, an increase in attacks against women and girls themselves. What have you seen or heard about on the ground?
Well, it's interesting. It's definitely an underreported story, the violence that has been perpetrated against women. Rape is definitely widespread. And, you know, there's an image that just sticks clearly in my mind that is being played over and over on the television and the newspapers of women carrying entire mattresses and bed frames on their backs, you know, the burden of these huge, what little they have, they're fleeing with on their backs. And for me, that's a metaphor for the poverty that they have to carry on their backs. And when we took Stella up to school, the young girl who was on your program a couple weeks ago, in Nakuru, and it's an all-girls school, all tribes. There's some Sudanese and Somali women at the school. And we interviewed these girls, and, you know, as we're interviewing them, we hear gunshots just less than a kilometer away, and they're crying and they're pleading for peace, and they're saying things like, we sleep with our certificates at night so that if we have to run in the night, we'll have the one thing of value, our education. So as, you know, as these skirmishes are going on, which, by the way, are all young men, we have to see any young girls participating in the violence. You know, people are just trying to go about their lives, and they're trying to stick to their dreams. And for a young woman in Kenya, it's about that education.
Finally, Amy, given that you have a history with Kenya, you've been there many times, visited before, this is probably the first time you're seeing this level of violence in that country. What do you say to the assessment that Kenya could plunge into a civil war?
Again, it's something I would never like to exercise an opinion on because it's really not my place. I think personally, just going through this, it's opened my eyes to just how vulnerable any country can be when there's no rule of law, when elections are tampered with, and I just don't believe that it's a specific thing to the African continent. And you know, democracy is a very precious thing, and there are many, many peace-loving, democracy-loving Kenyans that are working very hard behind the scenes, and there's wonderful stories of people reaching across tribal lines and ethnic clashes to shelter each other, to feed each other, to take clothing into the camps. That's the sort of stories that we're working on and hope to bring to the broader public.
Well, Amy Williams, I want to thank you very much for joining us today, and also Gem joining us, both of them live from Kenya. Thanks so much for being with us and sharing this information.
Thanks, Sonali.
Amy Williams is an LA-based filmmaker and correspondent for Uprising while she is in Kenya. Also joining us on the line, an analyst by the name Gem. He wanted to go by his first name only. And both of them joined us live from Kenya.